I'm Luke.
And I'm Jason.
We're the guys from That Film Stew, and this is our latest review, The Fall Guy.
Directed by David Leitch, The Fall Guy is the action comedy film starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt, which is loosely based on the 1980s TV series about stunt performers. The movie is in cinemas now, but if you haven't watched The Fall Guy yet and you want to, go watch it first before listening to our full review. We will be talking spoilers.
Before we get into it, make sure you subscribe and download this podcast on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, wherever you can find us, and feel free to leave us a review.
And follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as That Film Stew Podcast.
So Jason, what is The Fall Guy about?
Colt Seavers, played by Ryan Gosling, a battered and past his prime action choreographer, finds himself working on a film set with Tom Ryder, who's played by Aaron Taylor-Johnson. He's a famous actor for whom he had doubled for long ago. When Tom goes missing and the film, which is being directed by Jody Marino, who's played by Emily Blunt, Colt's ex-girlfriend in her directorial debut, is in danger of being shut down, Colt volunteers to find Tom and save Jody's debut film.
Now, where to start? I think the best place to start is with the original TV series that aired in 1981. Question for you. I think I know the answer. Did you watch it?
No. Is that what you were expecting? Is that
yeah?
So you okay? Yeah, yeah. Look, it's a show I know of, and I know certain things about it, who's in it, stuff like that. But no, it wasn't. Like, it's just never one that I've ever checked out or seen. I'm not even familiar with it being on Australian television at any point during my lifetime. So, and I could be wrong there, but no. What about yourself? Have you seen?
I haven't. I'm the same as you. Lee Majors, we all know him from The $6 Million Man, which is, right, it's pretty funny that they play the theme from that show. You know, whenever he's showing super feats?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they play that music. They do it once in The Fall Guy, which I thought was pretty fun. And I liked all the other nods. Colt worked on Miami Vice, so he's always wearing that Miami Vice jacket to play the music from Miami Vice. I was loving all of that. But The Fall Guy, I knew what it was, but I'd never actually seen it. This movie, I was really looking forward to. You know, the angle of the stuntmen, them going for as many stunts as possible, you know, really shining a light. The marketing for this movie has been incredible. So it's the director, David Leitch, his last movie, Bullet Train. Wow, I absolutely love that movie. And you've got Ryan Gosling, still coming off the back of Barbie. So he's got Kennedy going for him as well. And the Kennedy, chemistry that we've seen in all the ads. So without seeing the TV show this movie's based on, didn't matter. The excitement was there based on the people involved. We've got to look at the comedy, the action in those trailers. So, you know, I'd said to you, I was looking forward to this movie. I just find it interesting that it's with having no proper knowledge of the show that it's based on. Didn't matter.
I feel like you said, like, you know, like it doesn't matter. I really think that is true. Like, and I think there'll be a handful of people. I mean, I'm speculating here, but you'd probably go to, you know, man on the street, the average moviegoer, especially like a younger audience moviegoer as well. You know, like, hey, did you know this was based on, you know, an old TV series? I guarantee 9 out of 10, well, maybe not that high, maybe like 8 out of 10 would probably say, nah, I didn't know that. I don't know. You've got good odds of I'm assuming, I don't know. But
No, I think just
was this show?
I think you're right.
Was it a big show? Yeah.
I mean, at the time it would have been. I mean, again, it came out in 81, you know, Lee Majors, 81, that would have been after. Was that after The $6 Million Man? I think maybe.
Yeah, because that was 70s, wasn't it?
Right, so it must have been after. So this would have been the hit that he had after that. But in the show, like, again, without seeing it, but from what I've read, so he is a stuntman, just like Colt is in the movie. But in the show, he does moonlight as a bounty hunter. So he's going to be going after people each time. I think it was smart with this movie that, yes, he is acting like, well, not so much a bounty hunter, but he's trying to track somebody down, but he's just doing that one case. He's not got the two careers in this movie, which I think was a good choice. It was a personal thing with his ex, and he's trying to track down the action star. So I think just having that one, because otherwise, yeah, it'd have been too confusing. But if they're going to do sequels, they'd have to look at that. But for this movie, it worked.
I think from what I can tell, the basics is there in this movie. Like it has a focus on, you know, like the stunt performers and, you know, the things that go around, you know, that sort of world. The names of the two lead characters in the Fall Guy TV show, obviously Lee Majors plays Colt Seavers, the same name as Gosling's character. Heather Thomas plays Jodie Banks. There's connections there. There's clearly an adaptation happening, but again, point being, doesn't really matter.
No, and it is a loose adaptation. And then for me, having him be a stuntman that has worked on other TV shows as well, I mentioned Miami Vice, it just fits. Like, I really like it. Do you know what I'm struggling with, right? We've got Ryan Gosling playing a seasoned but aging action stuntman. To me, he's still young. I had to quickly look up his age, and I think this is like us getting older as well. Ryan Gosling, I do honestly see him as being young. He's 43. He's 2 years older than I am. I don't know. I see him as being younger.
I suppose it's probably one of those things, much like athletes and you know, the prime age for doing those very physical things. You know, you probably have a pretty early expiry date. That's probably where that comes from. The fact
that makes sense.
And I guess maybe it's also the fact that, you know, like, you know, the story in this film, you know, the accident that he goes through, well, accident in quotations, you know, that sort of put him out of the game. So it is sort of like, hey, look, if you were approaching your, you know, retirement, like it came early, and that's sort of where you are now.
You know, this film had been in development for 14 years. So as you can imagine, during that time, many actors...
1981.
Many actors were looked at. Tom Cruise, Keanu Reeves, Nicolas Cage, Jason Statham, Dwayne Johnson. They were all eyed to play Colt. For me, this is one of those times where I am so glad they couldn't make it back then. They made it now, and they had Ryan Gosling. He is fantastic in this. He's somebody that can do both the action, he can do the comedy. He's doing all of it. Like, he really is. He's doing the romance. He's perfect. He's absolutely perfect for this role. Like, he's in his performance and the character of Colt, he isn't always going to look heroic. He's falling over, he's bumbling, but. Yeah, it's still Ryan Gosling, so he looks cool all the while that he's doing it. But I just think perfect.
I like that this movie does that. You know, like, it is about, as crazy as this movie gets, like, there's still a very groundedness to, I guess, like, this character and his physical capabilities. Like, he's obviously a well-trained, skilled individual, but he's not a superhero. Like, he'll still jump and then, you know, like, land on his back and really hurt himself. Like, things will happen. But, like, you're right, like, Ryan Gosling, this is one of those instances where I'm trying to picture somebody else in the role doing the same sort of things and delivering, I guess, like, the feelings I have towards the character and the interactions with the other characters. It's, I'm finding it difficult to picture anyone else. Like, I really did nail it. And like you mentioned before, like, Ryan Gosling at the moment, the Kennedy, you know, the success of Barbie and what he brought there and how he brought so much to it. It's like the timing as well. It's not just the fact that it's Ryan Gosling, but just the time that this movie is coming out. There's conversations about, you know, like, there's going to be recognition of stunt performers in the Oscars, you know, in years to come. Maybe next year, maybe the year after, don't know. yeah, it just seems like a very timely type of movie with things. It's good.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking maybe the other Ryan, but he's busy playing Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds, Ryan Gosling, but those other guys that I mentioned on the list, you can't see it. Like Nicolas Cage, you know how much I love Nicolas Cage. He wouldn't be a good fit for this. Jason Statham, I really enjoyed him in The Beekeeper earlier this year. He's not doing this either. So anyway, perfect casting.
It's like all those names. All those names sort of have this like one gear to them. Like a Nick Cage version of this movie. He'd just be this very dry, cynical kind of approach. Jason Statham would just be Jason Statham. It's just cool.
Which he does very well, yeah. I agree.
And even The Rock, like as much as, you know, we have fun, you know, with Dwayne Johnson doing his thing, it's like you could see him just doing what he does and he would be wearing that, you know, that white shirt.
Yeah, and yeah, true.
Every time.
And Tom Cruise, I guess the closest that he's done to a film like this would be Night and Day with Cameron Diaz, which I quite enjoyed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we should probably move on from all the actors that didn't get cast in this film. Emily Blunt, Jodie, Colt's ex-girlfriend, first-time director. Emily Blunt is so bloody likable. She is so good. And on the back of Oppenheimer last year as well, where she was fantastic, especially in that monologue she has at the end of the movie. But here she is, easy, breezy, and you just genuinely buy that not only the relationship that you're seeing on screen, you definitely feel that the actors themselves actually like each other. Like, do you know what I mean? There's...
Yeah, like I was getting weird. Like, you know, obviously, like I'm sure they're okay, but I was like, her and John Krasinski, I was like, are they in trouble? Because I'm like, these two, if they ran away together, like, I'm believing it. That's how good.
You think it's another Mr. and Mrs. Smith situation?
Maybe. I mean, oh god, I hope not. They are wonderful together, but that's what they're doing on screen here, acting, man. Like, they are. The chemistry is glorious. And look, I had some reservations with sort of what the trailers were pitching as the story, the dynamic of their relationship between the two of them. I was thinking the movie's going to be them at odds, you know, for a lot of it, just because they really seem to sell that in the trailer. I'm kind of glad that they pretty much, not that it was 100% resolved, but they fairly patched things up fairly early on, you know, like when the main part of the story actually kicked off, the two of them were like, no, we're in a good place. Obviously there was still some things to work out, but it wasn't like Jodie was still, you know, biting his head off. And what they did, her, like, you know, her antagonistic approach to, you know, their rekindling or whatever was played for laughs. There was a lot of funny stuff in there. It's like you saw where she was coming from because you understood the context and you're just like, yeah, she has a right to be pissed. And it's kind of cool that she's kind of just like messing with him. But then very quickly, it was like, you can clearly see that it's like these two characters really want to get back together and you're rooting for them pretty much from like the get-go. Because again, these two actors are just getting it done.
They are.
And you're right. Not like Emily Blunt. Like,
oh, well, that's it.
Ryan Gosling in this movie. God damn.
Well, you're right. You made a very good point there that it would have been a mistake for them to have dragged it out. Like, although it wasn't completely resolved, as you say, the movie was able to move on. They were able to have a relationship without them just constantly bickering all the way throughout the movie. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Which just was a refreshing. I think when it literally happened, I was just like, oh, sweet. Like, this is cool. We can just have fun and explore other stuff. And, you know, a part of the stakes is actually, well, they know that they want to be, like, together. They've got to get back together now. Like, they've got to resolve this other stuff, the crazy plot, for them to actually get back in a room together and be like, cool, like, let's do it, because they want to. They've communicated that. All of the fun stuff with, like, the, you know, the phone call that they had where, you know,
with the split screen,
he's finding the split screen thing. It's like he's finding a dead body. She's trying on the, like, the alien suit thing, which is just bizarre. And
she's stroking her face and she's like you know, she's got the she's got the alien glove. But I like that she's looking at revising the script. Or how about if we introduce a split screen, and then the movie introduces a split screen along with what she's reading, and then as you say, the contrast, what he's experiencing, what she is. It's just there's lots of moments of genuine belly laughs, but there's also lots of chuckles of like just like silly like moments. And that's one where she's having like a serious conversation, but she's stroking her chin with like an alien finger.
It's like exactly. Like not everything needed to be a giant, like a huge joke. It was just like, oh man, like this is so odd and weird. And you get, you know, yeah, it gets us giggling.
Like, it really does. And being an action comedy, like so many of them, they lean one way or the other. This film, I think, has got such a great balance between the two. It's such a balanced movie. The bad guy, because he is a bad guy. Aaron Taylor-Johnson as Tom Ryder. He's a famous action star, goes missing, and that starts off Colt trying to track him down in the first place. What a dick. Aaron Taylor-Johnson is so good. I did hear that originally he wasn't going to be in it as much. But it was proving to, you know, he was really delivering, so that we need to get this guy more screen time. And he'd worked with David Leitch before this in Bullet Time, which is apparently, not Bullet Time, Bullet Train, which is apparently the performance that got the rumors started on him potentially being the next Bond. Him in that movie, wearing a nice suit, having an English accent, that's all it takes apparently, and a bit of action. But he's so good in this. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, like, I mean, from the get-go, it's like, I mean, he's a complete dick of a character, and he's obviously set up to be, you know, unlikable in a good way. I genuinely didn't see, you know, like the actual core part of the plot being what it was. You know, like the fact that it's like this guy, this Tom Ryder, you know, Taylor Johnson's character, he goes missing. Gosling's character goes out, tries to find him. Cool. So who's taken him? Who's kidnapped him? What's going on? Who's holding him for ransom? Waiting for that to be revealed. The whole, you know, like he's actually intricately a part of what's going on. It's actually something that he's done that is being covered up. And then, as you said, he is essentially like the bad guy, or at least one half of the bad duo. It's I didn't see it coming, unless it was in a trailer that I missed, which I'm glad. I'm hoping it wasn't, because
if you go back and watch the trailers, you've got him handcuffed in the car, the third act scene with Colt. It's there, you know, and he's like screaming
in the trailer.
No, it doesn't. Context, yeah, absolutely. But it's interesting going there back and seeing it now. It's like, hey, that's the end of the movie, and it's in the trailer. But yeah, the other half of the villains, Hannah Waddingham as Gail Meyer. She's Jodie's executive producer. I mean, we'd know her from, well, some people, most people would know her from Game of Thrones originally. But for me, maybe you, she plays business person Rebecca Welton in Ted Lasso. She's fantastic.
In that show, business person.
That's the correct term, isn't it? But she's great in this. You know, everybody is. Honestly, I'm a fan of the actors in this movie. It just, she's always got a diet. Was it a Diet Coke? She's always got the soft drink on the go, which comes in handy when she's trying to get the phone off of Jodie, and purposely falls in her big drink that she's always walking around with. And just having dark hair, she looked different enough to what she normally looks like. I just completely bought into this character. And yeah, it's very much her and Tom Ryder working together, manipulating the whole situation. Yeah, I really
like the whole situation, like everything. Yeah, no, it's nuts. Yeah, again, like with like her character, it's like obviously, you know, presented as an unlikable one, but you're thinking, well, the joke here is that it's just like, you know, like as a producer, she's a douchebag. So you go with it, not expecting that it's like, man, she's the puppet master. Like what's happening? Again, like maybe a smarter version of me saw it coming. I don't know. But I, in this case, just watching, I was just like, yep. Yeah. And I just enjoyed the surprise. And I just let the story develop and reveal all of its twists and turns.
Really enjoyable twists and turns. An actor that I want to talk about, Winston Duke, is Dan Tucker, Colt's best friend and stunt coordinator. Really found him entertaining in this. And I've got to say, out of all the actors in this, Winston Duke, whenever he hit anybody, I felt it. Such impact. He's a big guy. I'm like, where's his movie? Like, where's his Jason Statham type movie? Get him cast. Man, he's really entertaining in this. And I love him and Colt having all the movie references back and forth. So good.
Like on the, like, yeah, like you're right. Like he's a presence. And I think keep an eye on him. I reckon he'll just grow from here, which is intimidating. But yeah, like all the in jokes and things, like the references to other films, whether it was there, you know, between the two of them, like the movie quotes and stuff, but just all the other things. You already mentioned a whole bunch, like or TV shows as well, like the Miami Vice jacket and bits and pieces. This movie's very much, you know, like it's self-aware of itself, like through its comedy, through the jokes and just things that are happening. Like you can tell, you're just like, yeah, this movie knows what it's poking fun at. It knows. It has a very clear identity of what it wants to be. You know, you already said like the balance between the action, the comedy is just on point. Like this movie really knows what's going on. It uses self-referential jokes throughout, which is fantastic. All like the inner workings of like the movie business, Hollywood, working on set, bits and pieces, all of that. Like it's great. What I love though is that they don't push it too far that it becomes, you know, like meta kind of humor. Like they don't break that third wall or fourth wall or whatever it is, whatever wall they're surrounded by. But they, you know, they don't start talking to the audience in a way that it's just like, yeah, we know what we're doing. It's like they let the writing and the dialogue and the characters just speak for themselves in it, which is fantastic. It also doesn't, again, it just doesn't go as far as to be like, hey, look, we're a parody movie. You know, and it's funny that a lot of adaptions of like shows, especially like sitcoms and stuff, whether it's from the 70s or whatever, whenever they do like a movie adaption many years later, they always lean towards a comedy of sorts. And I feel like a lot of them have, or did end up being parodies, you know, like Dukes of Hazzard or why am I blanking every single one at the moment? Like the movie.
There's an obvious one. One that I personally love, the Todd Phillips directed movie Starsky and Hutch.
That's the one I was thinking. I was like, what's the one with Ben Stiller?
Ben Stiller,
Owen Wilson.
I love that. You've got Snoop Dogg as Huggy Bear. And you know, right?
But as enjoyable and funny as it is and stuff, it's like it does go into the realm of parody. Like it
does. They're supposed to be silly. This is a different thing. What I was just going to say, though, Snoop Dogg, you know, he's got an appearance in Old School. He agreed to that when he was negotiating to appear as Huggy Bear in Starsky and Hutch because he really wanted that role. You know what's interesting, actually? There's a comparison here because the end of Starsky and Hutch, because the car gets written off and then the original actors show up and they give Ben Stiller's character, I can't remember, is he Hutch? No, he's Starsky. They give Starsky the keys to the car, you know, the one that had been in the movie from the TV series. So the original actors and the car appear. That happens at the end of this movie as well. Lee Majors and is with the... I'm not a car person, but apparently the car from the show is the car that's at the end of the movie.
I mean, yeah.
Comparison there.
And I haven't seen anything online confirmed, but like there's also a blonde actress.
Yes, I've looked.
And I'm like,
found
is
nothing.
It Heather Thomas? Is it Heather
Thomas? It's got to be somebody, because she's very much a part of that scene. She's nodding along with Lee Majors. She's part of it. And I'm thinking, yeah, is she from the show as well? That would be my guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, the internet's not saying anything, but I'm like, the internet's also confirming that, you know, Heather Thomas is still alive.
It's definitely that, somebody.
There's a chance. Yeah, like, it's not just some random, like, there's a certain look to that actress where I'm like, yeah, you're from a certain, like, time. Like, yeah, I'm like, but again, because I'm not too familiar with the show.
It makes sense.
Lee Majors, I was like,
it makes sense if she is from the show. So let's just assume she is. And that's why she's at the end. You know, we really need to talk like the action, the stunts in this movie. Now, I knew this little fact going in. With 8.5 car rolls, this movie breaks the record for the most car rolls. This fact was also stated in the movie and is a true fact. So I knew I knew that they broke that record before seeing the movie, but then to see it happen in the movie, which made it even cooler, but then to actually mention it in the movie.
Again, that's very self-aware stuff that's gone. See, like, again, like I, you know, like I witnessed that scene and I heard them talking about it, but I didn't actually know that that was a legitimate thing they were breaking. That's fantastic. That's cool.
In this movie, of all films, for this to be the one where they're breaking a record like that. Remember late 90s, early noughties, you'd always stick around the end credits of a Jackie Chan film, whether it's Rush Hour, Shanghai Nights, or Shanghai Noon, the first one. Anyway, all of them.
Yeah.
They were fun. You'd stay in your seat, you're at the cinema, and you'd watch those end credits to see the bloopers. How cool are the end credits to this movie? Because we'd seen the stunts in the movie, but then, I mean, we should say we got an invite to the Perth premiere, which was excellent. I had my first spicy margarita, not spicy margarita, my first, yes, that's what it's called, isn't it? Spicy margarita, which I thought, that's novel, going into the screening, and then it's mentioned quite a few times, and they drink spicy margaritas. Oh, this is pretty cool. We're experiencing what they are.
But well put together, folks. Well put together. Very clever.
But it was packed, wasn't it? And with the end credits and seeing the stunts, most people stayed seated. And it was great just seeing that. And again, we'd seen it in the movie, but to watch how they actually did it was fantastic. And it really showcased, you know, everything that went into the stunts, which is perfect for this movie.
Like, there is no denying, I mean, and if anyone wants to fight me on it, go for it, but it's like the stunts in this movie, like there are things going on, and I want to believe, I haven't, you know, like I want to believe that they did as many stunts as possible rather than going like the CGI route and all that kind of stuff. If someone tells me that, I'm going to believe them. But I don't think there's any denying that, like, the action scenes in this movie aren't fantastic. Like, they are. They're great. Some of them are crazy bonkers, but there's nothing too ridiculous that I was watching thinking, like, oh, yeah, now we're just defying the laws of, you know, the universe and all that kind of stuff. Everything that seemed to play out, I'm like, yeah, that could happen. Still insane, but to a grounded thing. And to have the, you know, like, if just watching this movie, I was, the whole time I'm just thinking, this is the greatest, biggest love letter to, you know, stunt performers and the work and the effort and the skill set that goes into pulling those things off. Usually, you know, like they don't get as much credit as, you know, the actors, the writing, the directors, all that kind of stuff. But obviously there's so much that goes into what they do. I was like, this is a fantastic movie to highlight that. And then to get that little sizzle reel during the credits, the alternative to the blooper reel, but like just looking at how this was made, the stunt work, I was like, that really just brought it all home. That was like, yeah, great. Like, I wanted to stand up and clap. I didn't, because that's hell weird. That's like clapping on a plane kind of thing.
Yeah.
But inside me, I was like, yep, everybody gets a standing ovation.
It was a perfect,
fantastic,
perfect way to end it. But in the movie, we see Colt So Ryan Gosling gets set on fire multiple times, and it's funny because it's part of that back and forth with Jodie. But then in those end credits, you see an actual stunt person get lit on fire, and you're like, oh shit, he's on fire. So there's something raw about seeing the actors or the stunt performers actually going through it themselves.
It was kind of confused. Like, my brain was doing a few weird things just trying to conceptualize it. So I'm like, okay, in this movie that we're watching about a stunt performer doing stunts, in the movie we're on set of a movie being made, and then at the end of this movie we see the real stunt performers doing the stunts for the actors in this movie we're watching about them making a movie. My brain hurt, man. Like, it was... I'm hoping what I just said made 100% sense, but like that
it did. Yeah.
Especially watching that reel over the credits, I'm like, whoa, like Ryan Gosling has a stunt double. Like, well, of course he does, because this is a movie, but
it's just like, I mean, the movie is about the making of a movie. Put the, you know, tracking down the action star to one side. It is about making a movie. And then, yeah, at the end credits, you are actually seeing them making that movie we saw them make for the last however long. I get you. Well, it sounds like we both had a good time with it. But if you're going to rate The Fall Guy out of 5.
I mean, I almost feel like throughout this, I haven't praised it enough. I mean, I don't think I've said anything negative. And honestly, that's because I don't. I don't have anything negative to say about this movie. It was a great experience, a great fun ride. As I said, the comedy is on point. It doesn't go meta. It doesn't go, you know, like parody. Like, it knows what it is. It's very self-referential. It's self-aware. The chemistry between the two leads is fantastic. The supporting cast, the twists, the reveals, I was on board for all of it. The stunts are great. Again, like a wonderful love letter to stunt performers. And I feel like if this movie is spreading awareness and has a message, that's what it is. I'm going crazy, man. I'm going 5 out of 5. Like, this movie is just fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, wow. I did not see that coming. I mean, I was there with you and I heard you chuckle. So I know that you're having a good time watching it, and I'm sure you heard me on occasion as well. Yeah, I mean, I don't think, am I going to be ballsy here? Because I was close to where you've landed. And in fact, you know what? Yeah, wow. I'm also going to come in at a 5. And it's close to what I was going to come in at already. But I've got to be honest, talking about it with you here has raised it for me. But the fact that we've just been talking about this for however long now, and we've not mentioned one negative. Do you know what I mean? There's nothing either of us have said. So if that's not a 5 out of 5, what is?
I mean, look, we could continue talking about it, and then, but it would literally just be us just talking about things that happened in the movie, you know, like,
and how much
drugs
we like those things. Well, not with drugs, you know. Like, oh, mate, the unicorn. It was subtle, but it was perfect. It's because just when you thought it was fine and the drugs had worn off, just in the background you saw the unicorn again.
The stuff amazing with the dogs, like,
oh, the dog, oh, all of it. But we've done it. We've both landed on perfect scores, 5 out of 5. Well, that's it for our review of The Fall Guy. If you haven't already, check out our other shows, Rewind and Review and Sounds Like Comics. Each of those shows also have their own Facebook pages.
If you missed it, be sure to check out our recent review of Monkey Man, and stay tuned for our upcoming review of Late Night with the Devil.
You've been listening to Luke.
I don't know why I said it like that. And you've been listening to Jason.
We're the guys from That Film Stew. See you soon.